we're going to let the Lord move in these services.
That's right.
It's going to be all right with me, and I'm sure it will be with you if the Lord fills somebody with the Holy Ghost during the song service.
Right.
Be all right. The Lord just pours His Spirit out during the preaching, heals somebody. I think I'm just fine.
That'd be fine.
I know of a preacher one time had one of those 10-point sermons, you know, and down about point six, he had over in the margin, shout here. Well, you got to watch us Pentecostals, because we love to shout anyway. We don't get to wait to a certain point. Hallelujah. We're just going to let God have His way. We'll shout a while, laugh a while, cry a while. We're just going to let the Lord move today.
Sure.
Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to open them to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. And I want to read to you verses 21 to 24 and 25. We'll be preaching tonight from the book of Luke, chapter 15 and verse 11. We will begin. If you want to mark Luke 15, 11, that's where we'll be preaching basically from. However, we want to read for a text from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Bring your Bible every night. Bring a friend. If a visitor comes and they have no Bible, please share with them your Bible. Let's have a real move of honoring the Word of God and letting the Spirit confirm His Word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Reading now from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. I want you to notice this now. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also hath suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree.
Hallelujah to the Lord.
That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls. I want you to read with me in unison, verse 25, out loud together with me. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls. How many are glad you're in a sheepfold tonight? How many are glad you got a shepherd that loves you? How many appreciate that your Jesus went out into the wilderness of sin, into the canyons of despair, out there in the mountains of trouble that you were in, and He sought you till He found you and brought you to the sheepfold? It's good to be in the house of God tonight, isn't it? I'm not going to stand here and act like I've got all the answers to America's problems or the world's problems or to Arkansas's problems or to Pine Bluff's problems or even to your problems. But I am going to tell you from my heart that if people would return to the basic truths of the Word of God, return back to old-fashioned salvation, praying, worship, fasting, repenting, agonizing before God, I believe we'd see revival.
Right.
I'm going to preach from this 25th verse. For ye were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. From the 15th chapter of Luke and verse 11, my message tonight, and I'm going to entitle this, I have returned. I have returned. Everybody say, I have returned.
I have returned.
Say it again. Say it again. Oh, thank God. It feels good to be in Father's house tonight. Pray with me now for the Lord to move in a mighty way. Raise your hands and pray. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I could stand here tonight and list many of the world's woes, trouble spots, grievances, cares, and I'm sure you can list a whole lot of them. We could all paint dismal pictures. And we could see of crime being rampant, delinquency on the increase, morals becoming more lax and slack as time progresses. But I'm not going to deal so much tonight with the problems as I am with the cure. For it's one thing to diagnose you got cancer or you got a dread terminal disease. And it's quite another to say, I know a remedy and a cure for what ails you. Now, I'm not going to try to be simplistic, that is, simple-minded. But I do believe that the gospel is still the cure for what ails this world. And people have tried about everything else. I think they'll try the Lord. Maybe you're in that category tonight. Maybe with the fresh blush of youth on your cheeks, you have not yet tried money or tried sensuality or carnality or the pleasures of the flesh or education. You may think that out there in man's world with man's wisdom and man's wealth and man's ideas, there is a solution to the problems. Now, I wish you'd listen to us. We've been there. And man does not have the answer. God's the only one that's got the answer. I want to preach to you tonight from the 15th chapter of Luke, verse 11, about a story. I hope you'll listen and let the Lord talk to you. And you'll learn. And maybe you need to make a course correction. Or maybe you need to return to some values, or return to some consecration, or return to the faith of your fathers, or to the salvation the apostles preached. I just hope tonight that somewhere the Holy Ghost can inspire you to understand your hope is not in the world, but it's in the Word of God, and you need to go back to it.
That's it.
In Luke 15, verse 11, Jesus said, and a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, this young son had a gimme spirit. He just wanted everything before his time. He wanted it now. You know, that's kind of like sin. Some people want their pleasure and they want it now. He couldn't wait. He had a spirit that was greedy. He said, give me. Now, if you don't watch that give me spirit, it'll get a hold of you.
It will.
Give me a few more bucks. Give me a few more material possessions. Give me this. Give me that. Give me the other. And may I quickly add that Man's happiness is not in the abundance of the things that you possess. It's not really what you possess, but rather what possesses you that counts. So he went to his dad and he said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Old dad sat down and worked out the inheritance and divided it up. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. I imagine it must have been tragic. Mom and dad watched the boy pack and get his clothes together. He was going to leave home. He was going to make it on his own. He didn't need mom and dad anymore. He didn't need dad's house. He was smart enough, he felt, and he knew enough he could get by. I don't know what it was that got in his heart. Maybe some of those caravans that periodically came by, he had heard them talk around the campfire about faraway places with strange sounding names.
Yeah.
But there was something that was pulling him. Some sort of magnetism. He was feeling that I'm missing something here in this old 2x4 town. I'm missing something here in this backwoods place. I need to go where the bright lights are. I need to go where there's a lot of people and a lot of things going on. So he said, "I want my money, I want my inheritance, and I want to go, and I'm going to go right now." He gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. You know, he got a long way from home.
Right.
He didn't go the next town. He went a long way from home. It's something about human nature, you know, when it wants to do its thing and kind of be a little raunchy or be a rascal or maybe do some things that's not quite nice. They like to get a long way from home so nobody knows them. But he went to a far country. You know, I could say something. You know I could say it. I could say it from my heart that no matter where you go, God's watching you. And no matter what you do, God's seeing you when you do it. So he left Dad's house. He left Dad's house. Walked out on security. Walked out on a roof over his head. Walked out on a well-provided table where he had plenty to eat every day. He just shut that door and turned his back on all of those blessings and just marched out. You know, I see sometimes the Spirit come into our services and our churches. People begin to think, "I'm missing something. I've been raised in church all my life and around here. There's something out there, no doubt, I'm missing. And I need to get out there and sink my teeth into it and find out for myself." Oh, if you just listen tonight, there's nothing out there but trouble and sorrow and discouragement. You better stay in Father's house. Of course, in the same vein, some people don't think they could ever lose out with Father's house. They could never backslide, in other words. Once saved, they were always saved. They have a sort of a permanent grip on God. No matter if they smoke cigarettes or chew tobacco or cuss, they're still all right. And it's okay because once a son, always a son. And you can't become unborn. But you sure can be disinherited. Some people think they can't backslide. Did you know the Lord told some people one time in Revelation 3 verse 5, "I'll not blot their names out of the book of life"? That implies He could blot them out. Did you know the Lord said in Revelation 22:19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book"? Did you know Paul told the Galatian church in 5:4 of Galatians, "Ye are fallen from grace"? He told the church through Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:12, "having damnation because they cast off their first faith." Judas in Acts 1:25, "by transgression fell." And I'm going to tell you from my heart, if you transgress the law of God, if you transgress the Spirit of God, and you don't correct it, and you don't repent of it, and you don't get right, you will backslide.
Amen.
You can't take a haughty spirit and say, "I want to do my thing, and I want to be what I want to be, and and you shut the door and stomp out without paying a price for it. 3:6 of Hebrews said, but Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end? That's right. Verse 14 says basically the same thing. Hebrews 4:1 said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I don't want to come short. I like it in Father's house. And I don't want to leave. Well, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. All right. 10:38 of Hebrews said, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. I don't want to go back. There's nothing to go back to. I like it in Father's house. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Peter 2:20 said, for if after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end with them is worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of holiness, or way of righteousness rather, than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has turned his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, God didn't cleanse you and bring you out of all that confusion and all of that ungodliness and filth for you to go right back to it. He wants you to stay in the church. He wants you to stay in his house. He wants you to keep the victory. Amen. So don't think you cannot backslide. You can backslide. You can get a huffy spirit like this prodigal and say, look, I want what's mine. I want it now. I want to do my thing. I've got my own destiny to map out. I'm going to paddle my own canoe. I'm going to charter my own course. You know what you end up being? Like a hog on ice going everywhere at the same time. That's what you're going to end up being. You're going to be blinking at your own taillight. Some people wonder why they're so nervous. So nervous, so neurotic, so psychotic, so full of insecurities. I'll tell you why. You're not doing the will of God. Get in the house of God. Sing, pray, shout, worship, believe, and you'll be happy. If you walk out of here and want to do your own thing, you're being put between the jaws of a gigantic nutcracker. You're drawn each way. You can't serve two masters. You got to make up your mind to one or the other.
Right.
Well, this prodigal made his mind up. I'm leaving. I'm going. Bye-bye. No matter who he hurt, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
He, as it were, said, I don't appreciate all the years you've invested in me, Dad and Mom, trying to help me. I'm gone. So long. I'm buzzing off. Goodbye. So not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living.
Right.
Now, I don't think I don't need to embellish and garnish and describe this real detailed. I think it's self-evident that he did what he wanted to do.
That's right.
He went where he wanted to go. The dimly lit places. He went where he felt he could have the most fun. That's right.
Uh-huh.
He wasted his substance with riotous living.
Right.
The word riotous means he just let the reins loose on the neck of passion. He just let the horses run. He just went hog wild and pig crazy. That's what that means. He just did anything he wanted to do. He didn't care who knew it, who saw it. He was having himself a good time.
That's right.
Isn't it tragic how the devil can get people to thinking you're missing something unless you get out there in deep sin and get out there and wallow with immorality and dishonesty? Oh, God, the sweetest time of your life is in Father's house.
Amen.
The best hours of your life are in Father's house. Don't let the devil tell you anything that's different to that. Well, he wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, I can name a lot of things, and I believe I could say they're riotous living. Revelation 21 and 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Right. Now, those things are riotous living.
That's
anything
right.
leads you to a lake of fire, friend, is riotous living.
Right.
Now, in Galatians 5, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, variance, hatred, wrath, strife, seditions, emulations, murders, heresies, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
Now, things that would disqualify you from going to heaven is riotous living. I don't want to do those things that would keep me out of heaven. Do you? But this prodigal, he went to do his thing. He went to do his thing. Never realizing without the holy city will be dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Revelation 22, verse 15. Never realizing, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 6, verse 7. He didn't maybe realize that. He was too wrapped up doing his thing. He went into the bars, no doubt. He was a kind of a good time Charlie. He'd buy the round for everybody. He'd go into the dimly lit gambling dens and smoke-filled pool rooms, and he'd gamble his money away. He danced till dawn in some discotheque or till his tie rolled back up over his shoulder. Brother! He'd shoot the dope up his veins, and my, he was having a time. He thought. He thought. The Bible said, there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to. But some of you older ones tonight that's realize what life's really about. You've been in and you've been out there. You tell these young people around here, I wasted many years. I wasted my money. I wasted my strength. I wasted my mind. I wasted my life. And I plead with you, don't do like I've done. And you know I'm telling you the truth. All right. He got down there and wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, brother, he got every dime in his pocket. He emptied up his purse, as it were. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. You see, things begin to turn. The economy started fizzling out. And he began to find himself in trouble. He didn't worry about tomorrow. You know, he was one of the original who cares about tomorrow. And we've got that flippant, happy-go-lucky spirit sometimes ourselves. Friend, could I plead with you? Judgment Day's coming.
Right.
Could I plead with you? Jesus is coming. Could I plead with you? This old earth is not going to keep on going like it's going indefinitely. Something's going to happen. Could I plead with you? God is going to intervene in the affairs of mankind. We are on the verge of something going to happen. I beg you, get ready for it. I hope you're not out doing your thing. I hope you're not like the prodigal, out spending your lusts. I hope you're in Father's house. I hope you're praying and worshiping. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. His hunger pains began to hit him. And his friends left him. The Bible said, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. You see, he kind of took his hat in his hand when he got hungry enough. And he knocked on the door of a farmer's house. And he said, I'm hungry. I'll do anything you want me to do to make me a little money so I can eat and live.
Uh-huh.
That was quite the opposite attitude, the attitude that he had back in Father's house.
Right.
He had that smart aleck attitude in Father's house. Give me. I demand my rights. I want you to honor me. Maybe without doing violence to the text, say he was the kind that would have said, I'm tired of hoeing in the fields. I'm tired of sweating and slaving with everybody else. I want what's mine, and I want it right now. But you see, when his strength ran out, you see, when he got to the end of the rope and there was no knot there to hang on to, he had to take his hat in his hand and go knock on a door and say, do you have any work? I'll do anything. No doubt the farmer said, I don't have a thing. Work is hard and scarce, and I can't help you. Just move on down the road. Maybe the prodigal was about to turn and leave, and the farmer scratched his head and said, oh, wait a minute. I got one job, but you probably don't want to do it. It's kind of nasty, and it's demeaning, and it's lowly, and there's not too much dignity with it, and you can't wear a shirt and a tie and sit on a chair behind a desk and put your feet up in it and let the air conditioning blow on you. You're going to have to get out and really get with it. I got one job. What is it? And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Son, I'll let you slop the hogs. I'll let you feed the hogs. If you're hungry enough, you can go feed them. Take it or leave it. I'll take it. You know, it's funny how circumstances can change your attitude. And sometimes God has to put us in circumstances that changes our attitude. Oh, God! I don't want to have to go down and stop the hogs to learn how to be humble. I want to learn how to be humble and stay in the house of God. Well, he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You see, he went down there to do what he was told to do. The Bible said, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Now that means he was so hungry, so desperate, he was about to fill his tummy with the husk that the swine did eat.
Right.
Didn't say he did, but he said he was on the verge of jumping down in the hog pen with the swine, with the oinkers, and he was about to get down there and compete with them for the hog food, for the husk. You see, you gotta learn. I don't know whether you're gonna learn this or not. But if you eat the devil's card, you're going to choke on his cob. You dance to his music, you're going to eat what he puts before you. Oh, God. I'd rather be in Father's house anytime. He was desperate. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. The Bible said, and no man gave unto him. I don't want to talk. I don't like to satire and laugh and leer at people in trouble. I don't mean it this way. But we've got to learn from this story tonight. So I'd like to go over to this hog pen and I'd say, prodigal, I want to ask you a question. Where's your drinking buddies at now?
Yes.
Where's your card playing, dice rolling, finger popping, dancing buddies at now? Where are your friends that you bought all the drinks for, and you bankrolled them, and you did all kinds of things with, huh? You need help now. You could do for a little bit of a free handout from them, but they're nowhere to be found. Oh, people, please, please, please hear me tonight. You'll have no friend like Jesus. There'll be no friend like Jesus in your life. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen.
Right.
No man gave unto him. No man gave unto him. He was feeding the hogs. So hungry he would fain and fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Now my Bible tells me in the next verse, and when, woo, and when he came to himself, down there in the
helped him. He had a revival. Down there with the slop and with the pigs and with the stinking mud, he had a revival. He came to himself. That simply meant he began to think straight for the first time. He began to see things clearly for the first time in a long time. And he sat down and reasoned it out, as it were, realized that he was on the short end of the stick. And that's the way the devil does you every time. I said every time. I said every time. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know what he was saying? Kind of like looking at his watch. And he was saying, about this time back home, they're spreading the table. They're coming in from work, and they're steaming hot food, and there's plenty to eat, and there's fellowship, and friendship, and good feelings, and plenty for everybody. And here I sat in a hog pen, starving to death, and I'm a son, and they're eating plenty. Oh Lord, I don't know if you're a backslider or not, but I want to tell you something. If you walk out on God and stay out for years, you'll never get away from the haunting memories. You may sit on a bar stool in a tavern and drink yourself silly. You may shoot dope up your veins. You may run with the honky-tonk finger-popping crowd, but there'll come times in your moment of quietness when you'll be thinking and you'll be looking at your watch like the prodigal. You'll be saying, well, about this time they're gathering in to have church. About this time the song leaders get ready to sing. About this time they're testifying and the preacher, he's taking a text. And they're shouting in Father's house. And they're singing in Father's house. And there's healing in Father's house. And there's blessing in Father's house. And here I sit backslid, cold, indifferent. You come to yourself that way. It'll haunt you the longest day you live.
Right.
The memories that you have of living for God. I tell you, this is the best life, isn't it? Oh, this is the best life there is. Right here. Can you say praise the Lord? Well, down there in that hog pen, that old prodigal, he had a revelation. Bible said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants. I like that. I like the metaphor. I like the image it projects. It said the prodigal declared, I will arise. I am going to say next month or next year, right now, I'm going to get out of this hog pen right now. I'm going to leave this slop and this slush right now. I'm going to walk out of this filth right now. I can see him as he climbed out over that fence. And he got up there and he probably shook the dirt of the place off. And he said, goodbye. I'm going back to Dad's house. Goodbye. I'm going to go back home where there's security.
You do.
Hallelujah night. I wish that some of you would say, I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of no happiness that's really genuine in my life. I'm tired of the devil pushing me around. I'm tired of this hog pen. I'm tired of this filth. I know what I'm going to do in this revival. In fact, I know what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to rise. I'm going to rise. And I'm going to go to Jesus. Say praise the Lord. Raise your hands. Would you do it? And just worship Him. Well, I can see Him now. When He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father.
Father.
You see, Dad, I goofed. I got this nest of rattlesnakes in my bosom, but as soon as I graduate from college, it'll be a course of nightingales. Dad, I'm an upward stumble in progress. Dad, I'm really goodness in the making. And anyone, he said, no excuses. I said, no excuses. I said, no excuses. He said, Father, I have sinned.
Okay.
Now, if you want help tonight from God, you're going to have to be honest with yourself. And you're going to have to say, Father, I have sinned. I want help. And I want you to bless me. And I want you to help me tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, I have sinned. He could have said, my older brother pushed me out. He could have said they made me do more of my share of the work. He could have found this fault or that fault with this servant or someone else in Father's house. But no, he realized he had nobody but himself to blame.
Right.
You hear me talk to you now? You didn't have to backslide. You didn't have to lose out with God.
Right.
You didn't have to leave Father's house. You did it of your own free will. Don't blame anybody else. You know what you need to do if you want to come back? Admit that you sinned. Admit that you're wrong. Admit that you want to do right. And God will bless you. Amen. Well, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I think that's a little different talk than what he had before. Before, he was going to kind of tell old Dad where to get on and where to get off. He was going to kind of, you know, jerk a knot and things around there. I'm a son, and bless God. But when he came back home after he learned his lesson, he said, I'll tell you what, Dan, I'll live in the bunkhouse. Dad, if you just let me come back, I'll do the dirtiest work around. I'll hoe in the garden. I'll bale the hay. I'll get out and toil in the hot sun. I won't cry for a bit about it. I'll drive the bus. I'll clean the church. I'll baptize the floor. I'll teach the Sunday school class. I'll stand through. Just let me come back home. Oh, it's good to be in Dad's house tonight. Well, he said, I got my speech all made up. Now notice, the next verse said, and he arose and came to his father. You see, he didn't just procrastinate like some of you do. You know, next revival I'm going to get in, or maybe next week or next year I'll straighten things out. He put legs on his prayers right then.
Right there.
Now, I don't want you to wait till tomorrow night. I want you to come to God tonight.
Right.
I want you to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. I want you to confess your sins tonight. I want you to straighten up anything you need to straighten up tonight. And he arose and came to his father. Here he goes now. Now, I know I'm painting some pictures here that maybe didn't happen, but I kind of think they did. You see, when he left that hog pen, climbed over that fence and started down the road, he probably had to pass the same taverns and maybe the same honky-tonks and gambling joints and all those places that he spent his money on. And I imagine some of his drinking buddies, when they saw him, they, come on, upstairs and buy another round. You know, I don't doubt the old prodigal didn't even look their way. He said, I'm going home. I'm going back. I'm going to return. I lost something in my life I've never been able to replace. I had something better than I ever had before, and I gave it up for such the likes of you. I ain't going in there. I'm going back home where I belong. I said where I belong. I believe once you've had the Holy Ghost, you'll never be satisfied out there in the world. And he arose and came to his father. Now, I know from my heart, being a dad, and you dads and moms know how I feel. If you have a son or daughter that gets in a little trouble or has a trial, you suffer with them. When they're little, they walk on your toes. They're big, they walk on your heart. And dad didn't want to see that boy leave home. I'm persuaded of that. And mom didn't want to see him leave. But they didn't stop him. They didn't stop him. You see, a team of wild horses couldn't stop that young boy. He was going to do it. There's nothing you could have done to stop him. And that's the way some of us are sometimes, you know. We just got to be let go. God turns us out, and we got to learn our lesson. Amen. Amen. But nevertheless, Dad and Mom, no doubt, watched for him. I have no doubt in my mind they watched for him. I have no doubt if old Dad, when he went to prayer meeting, every prayer meeting, pray for my boy. Pray for my son. And Mom, she'd say, remember my boy. God, keep your hand on my boy. Don't let him die, God. Whatever you got to do, turn his thoughts back home. Lord, keep him till he gets a chance to straighten things up. I can see him every prayer meeting, every revival. Remember my boy. Remember my boy. I'm not trying to play on your emotions, but some of you husbands are in the church tonight because your wives and your mamas and your friends requested prayer for you. Requested prayer for you. Requested prayer for you. Remember my husband! And some of you wives and daughters are feeling what you're feeling tonight because somebody kept requesting prayer for you. God, don't let them die. Don't let them die backslid. Don't let them die in that home pen. Don't let them die in that field. Wake them up. Wake them up. Wake them up. Aren't you glad somebody prayed for you?
Hallelujah.
I have no doubt his dad watched for him. I have no doubt in my mind. I've seen this in my mind so many times. Dad would have sat on that porch in the evening probably and watched that long road till the sun went down in the west. I personally feel that he knew every tree and the shadows that it threw. He knew the slant of the sun's rays. And anybody come walking up that road, he knew in a second if they were his boy or not. And they watched. And they watched, probably till their eyes got bleary with watching, waiting, hoping, praying. And in the day, the Bible said, he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. That meant way down the road. He saw a familiar shuffling gait. There was something familiar about that figure coming down the road. That was his boy. He realized it was his boy. And the Bible said he had compassion. Everybody said, had compassion. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Old Dad met the boy in the road and they had a reunion. Now I'm not trying to just dwell on emotion, but that's right out. Luke 1, sinner, if you want to come to God, this church will meet you in the road tonight. If you want to come to God, we'll meet you down here and we'll pray with you. We'll cry with you. We'll shout with you. We'll sing with you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, Dad could have said,
Lest God let him come to me.
Yeah?
I'll sit here and wait. Let him come to me, bless God. He left. Let him come bow down 4 or 5 times. Maybe I'll see him 2 or 3 weeks.
Put him on for a little bit.
Bible said he had compassion.
Oh, God.
Lord, if there's one thing we Christians ought to learn, that as a sinner is tonight or a backslider, if we are not careful, we will be ourselves. And we need to give compassion to somebody that wants to come back home. I'm not talking about a fraud or a fake. I'm not talking about somebody putting on. I'm talking about a genuine, sincere individual that wants to come back to God, that wants to leave that hog pen. We ought to have some compassion. I said some compassion. I said some compassion. I said some compassion! And fell on his neck and kissed him. I kissed him, welcomed him, and the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He didn't let the kisses stop him from making his speech. He didn't let the compassion stop him from admitting he had been wrong. I say it takes a man to admit they shouldn't have left the church. It takes a woman to admit they shouldn't have walked out on God. Come on now. It takes somebody with a backbone to say, look, I made a big mistake and I want to come back. Amen! He made his speech anyhow and said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. The work stopped, and they had a celebration. The routine of life stopped, and they had a celebration. They laid aside everything else and had a celebration. They made it a focal point. We're going to rejoice because he's come back home. Hear me, church. It's time to have some celebration tonight. It's time to have some celebration tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dad didn't say, well, tell me all the gory details of what you've done with all them women and how much booze you drunk and how much dope you shot up. I want you to tell me every graphic detail. Just as soon as that boy said, I've sinned. And old Dad knew he meant it. He said, strike up the music. Get the dancers out. My boy has repented. He wants to get right. Praise God.
Hallelujah!
Praise! Woo! Everybody say amen.
Amen!
Okay. Just want to know if you're still there.
Oh.
All right. Hallelujah. And they began to be merry. Ooh. There was laughter and shouting and dancing and good times. And listen to me now. Way back over there in the back 40, there was a faithful elder son just slaving up a storm. And it's time to go in now. The Bible said now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh up to the house, I can see it. He's tired, sweaty.
Yes.
I've worked hard while that old loco younger brother of mine, he ran off and left me with all this work.
Yes.
I'll rest tonight. And as he drew nigh or came near to the house, the Bible said he heard music and dancing. Music and dancing. He got a little closer
And he could see shadowy figures leaping and jumping and dancing. And he couldn't understand it. And he heard the faint strains of music. And he probably
looked around and thought,
this ain't Saturday night. What they doing now? You know, really, sometimes we saints make that mistake. We can only shout on Sunday night, you know. We can only kick the slats off the barn on Sunday night. Well, brother, I want to tell you something. It's Thursday night, and we're going to have a celebration. Well, he looked at me. I don't know what's going on here. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him,
no doubt this servant thought, I'm going to be the first to tell this elder son. He's going to be so happy when I break the news to him. He'll probably throw his sombrero in the air and dance a jig and jump up and down and be so glad his brother's back home. And I'm going to be the first to tell him.
And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He looked at the boy, and the older brother wasn't doing nothing. He was standing there turning about 7 different colors. He could see his furrow of his brow wrinkling up. And the Bible said it better when it said, and he was angry and would not go in. He wouldn't go in. I'm not going to go in. I'm not going to dance. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to participate in the celebration. I'm not going to let myself get happy. I will not allow myself to shout. I'm not going to participate and cooperate. I'm mad. And not only that, I'm going to pout. And I ain't going to go in. He was angry and would not go in. Oh, let me talk to you, would you? The Bible speaks that they had music and dancing. I want to tell you from my heart, I thank God I'm in Father's house where there's music and where there's dancing. Amen. I wouldn't want to go to a church that didn't have some music and dancing in it. Thank God we got a right to shout. We got a right to be happy. We got a right to worship the Lord. Notice number two. He stood out there under the trees in the shadows and he said, I'm not going in. I'm mad and I'm not going to go in. He was angry and would not go in. Have any of you ever acted that way? Have any of you, when someone gets up to lead the song, by and by, when the morning comes, well, by, I ain't going to sing. Okay. Have any of you, when somebody gets up here and gives a fiery testimony, and you're given a chance to stand and praise him, I ain't going to praise him. Not me. I ain't going to go in. I'm not going to get him a service. He was angry and would not go in. I'm going to pout. I just tell you, I'm going to stand out here under the tree, and you can dance all you want to. I ain't going in. You said it one time, that's enough. But I'd like to tell you something, if you let me, from on the inside, where the shouting is, and the dancing is, and where the music is, could I talk to you that's standing out there under the trees in the shadows, pouting, you know, and mad, and won't cooperate, won't get in here and rejoice with us? Could I tell you something? You can get mad if you want to, but the dancing's still going to go on. You can get mad and pout if you want to, but the music is still going to play. You can sit there and not get in this revival, but we're going to have revival anyhow. Yes, yes. You can stay home. You can stay home and pout, but the music's going to go on. I tell you what, if I was you, I'd just lose that pout.
Yeah.
And come on in.
Yeah.
Woo! There's music in here. There's dancing in here. There's a good spirit in here.
You want the Holy Ghost and sit there like a hoot owl on a tombstone? Well, raise your hands and worship God. You want healing and you sit there with your mind on a Kmart blue light special or a wall green or Walmart red light special or whatever. And you want God to give us revival and your mind's on your corn. My God, it'll never be. I tell you what, if your feelings are hurt, you best forget it. I tell you, the best thing, you just quit your pouting and quit being mad and come on in and celebrate. Your brothers come home. Praise the Lord. Oh God, I'm so glad that I had enough sense one day to come to Jesus, aren't you? The smartest decision I made was when I got out of that hog pen and said, I'm going to go to Father's house. That's the smartest thing I ever did, was when I found a sheepfold where there's security. Somebody to love me, to care for me, and to provide and help me. Can you say praise the Lord? But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Oh, Dad. He had to leave the party. Leave the celebration. Leave the dancing and the music and all the good feelings. And go out there under the trees in the shadows with that pouting son of his. And try to reason with him. My God. How many times as a pastor, and these pastors here tonight kind of know what I'm talking about. And you dear old saints that's been so faithful, you kind of know what we're talking about too. When we're having a revival and a move of God, and the music's going, and the dancing is on its way, and my God's doing great things, and it's all somebody drags their feet, stays home, gets mad and pouts and won't cooperate, won't get involved, and you got to leave the party and get in your car. You better perk up or I might call your address. See, I preached that here too many times. And you got to leave the party and come on to your house and say, hey, we're having revival.
I ain't going in.
Hey, God's filling me with the Holy Ghost. Come on.
I ain't going in. My feelings are hurt.
Come on. God, bring the backsliders back. Did you know your brother came back to God?
I ain't going in. I remember how he left me with all the work. I remember what he did. I ain't going in. You ain't going to make me go in. I won't go in. Well, all right. You may not come in, but I want to repeat something. You ain't going to stop the music. You ain't going to stop the dancing. You ain't going to stop revival. You're not going to stop the celebration.
I don't want to be smart with you tonight, but I mean just that. We want you to get in here, but if you don't, we're still going to have revival. Praise the Lord! Well, therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Now, Dad, I've been living by your rules. I've been faithful.
Yeah.
Not one time, Dad.
Yeah.
Did you tell me?
Yeah.
Son, just have yourself a party. You didn't do it, Dad. And my feelings are hurt. You're all too quiet. I don't like that. Like I say, I know you. I know you real well. You're making me nervous with your quietness. Something's going on here I don't know about. Tell me, well, all right, let me just preach on a while. Because you're telling on yourself. All right. So, you wouldn't give me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son is come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots,
He was sure he got that little salvo in, didn't he?
Yeah, he
fired that shot. He was sure he got that right. He threw that in there, you know, real good, that, right between the ribs, you know. Just which had devoured our living with harlots.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, well, I've been faithful in that church for years, and that old hussy, she's been out for years. Now she's coming straight back through, and now, Pastor, let me tell you what all she's done since she's been gone.
Go get caught.
Now, listen. Now, you know Brother Rutledge, and you know me. He don't tell me what to preach. He don't say nothing about what. I'm just preaching. I got this thing in freewheeling tonight. Woo! And Pastor, I want to tell you all that this man's done since he's been out of church.
That's what the elder son was doing.
Mm-hmm. Which had devoured thy living with harlots. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.
Yeah.
I was here for years, and you didn't throw me a party. But just as soon as an old stinking backslider comes back and prays through every one of you, get happy and throw your hats in the air.
Oh,
I don't like it. Well, you ain't going to stop the music in here.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! It's right! That's right!
Hallelujah.
I want you to notice. I want you to hear this, if you would, please.
Praise God.
And he said unto him, this is Dad talking now, Son, son, son.
Son.
I like that.
Son.
He was trying to reason with him. Oh, Dad, you know, he could have felt just by getting the hector stick out and beating him pretty good for having such a stinking attitude, but he was trying to reason with him. Son, thou art ever with me. In other words, you've been here in my house when your brother was in that old hog pen. He could have got killed in one of them gambling rooms. Down in one of them dives of drinking, he could have went out into eternity.
Right.
You was home where it was warm, safe, secure, and sound. And he was out there wandering around lost. Thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. I like that. All that I have is thine. You know what he was saying? Well, son, if you'd have wanted a party, all of it's yours anyhow. All you'd had to done was just went out and got you a kid and roasted it, put your friends in here, and had a party. I didn't stop you from having a party. Some people think a preacher's here to stop them from having a celebration. No, no. You're in here. Everything God has is yours. And if you want to shout, you can shout. If you want to worship, you can worship. If you want to bless the Lord, you can bless the Lord. You can do it. Everything God has is yours. Praise the Lord, everybody. All that I have is thine.
Yes.
You could rejoice any time you wanted to. While he was feeling bad and slopping the hogs, you could have been dancing and had music. Think about that, saints. When backsliders come back, think of all the years or months they were out of fellowship with God. And you was in revival. And you was in prayer meetings. And you heard good preaching and teaching and singing and choirs. Oh, don't be so jealous tonight. Oh, don't be so little, so nitpicking. All of us ought to rejoice when any backslider comes back. And I said, all of us ought to rejoice when any backslider comes back. You know what the Bible said in Galatians 6 and 1? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you know what Ephesians 4:21 said? Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor be put away from you with all evil speaking. And be ye kind one to another, tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
I'm glad God's forgiven me, aren't you? Well, I want Him to forgive anybody else too, don't you?
Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any.
Oh.
I want to read that again because I felt in the Spirit to see that. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I say it's no time to quarrel. It's no time to pout. It's no time to hold bad feelings against our brother that wants to get right with God. Let's let bygones be bygones. Let the dead past bury the dead. Let's forget yesterday. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. Tomorrow may never be mine. Let's forget the troubles that were. Let's forget all the things that happened back then. Let's go from this point forward. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you clap your hands for that tonight? Oh, hallelujah. You know what the Bible tells me in Matthew 18, 21 and 22? Peter asked the Lord, how many times shall my brother trespass against me in one day and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said, nay, till 70 times seven in one day. You know, if someone comes and really wants forgiveness, we've got to give it to them. You know what I think we ought to do? We ought to forgive people on credit. Amen? Whether they ask for it or not, we're going to forgive them. When I see a backslider come in the door and I know how dirty, rotten they've been, talked about me and spread tales that weren't true and dragged my name in the mud and tried to undermine me, stabbed me in the back and did all kinds of bad things, I still got to forgive him on credit. I forgive him. I got to have a sweet spirit towards him. Now, it's up to him and God. If he don't ever make it right, he's going to have to answer to God for that. But I don't want to carry a grudge in my heart. I want to have some music and dancing. I don't want to stand out under the trees pouting. I want to be in the party, don't you? And the reason some saints can't shout sometimes is they got grudges they're holding for years and years. I'm not going to give them up either, bless God. They're mine. They got my name and number all over them, and they're mine. They belong to me. And I've been wounded, and I've been hurt, and I've been done dirty 49,000 years ago at the corner of 4th and Main. I sat right there and dried up. Sat right there and be jealous. My friend, that's not the way to be. Come on in the party. Come on in. Peter asked that question, got his answer, till 70 times 7.
That's right.
Mark 11:25 said, when you stand praying, think of all the bad things everybody said about you and done against you, and Lord, pinch their heads off right now. Lord, I pray that you give them the green apple quick step, the double dose of it, Lord. Lord, I pray you'll take their job away from them. And you maybe heard on the telephone, so-and-so lost his job. Ha! Isn't that far? That's not Christian.
That's right.
I said, that's not Christian.
That's right.
Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive.
Forgive.
Forgive. Forgive. Did the Lord's Prayer say in Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? Did Jesus predicate it? That is, did not He make it this way in verse 14 of Matthew 6? For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive them. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now that's what it said, friend. Now if you're not going to forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. No wonder you can't shout. You haven't got a forgiven spirit. You know what I think you ought to do? Bury the hatchet, handle and all. You know what I think you ought to do? Quit your pouting and come on in the celebration. Be glad your brother's home. Be glad that we can have revival. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 5 speaks of a man in the Corinth church that had his father's wife. I don't need to go into detail. You know what that means. Well, they had to put him out after Paul got after him.
And then in 2 Corinthians 2, we find the man had evidently repented, was very remorseful, and Paul spoke of him treating him charitably. Now, that's what we need to do. I'm not condoning sin. I'm not standing up here saying that anybody do anything they want to do, and we're supposed to condone it. No! The prodigal knew he did wrong. He said so. I have sinned. He wasn't covering it up. He admitted he was doing wrong. Now, when someone is honest enough to admit they've done wrong, the least we can do is be Christian enough to forgive them. Amen. Praise the Lord! And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. You know what the word meet there means? It means it was the only thing we should do. It was the right thing to do. It wouldn't have been any other way. How do you think that prodigal would have felt? He wasn't really expecting a party, no doubt. If Dad had told him to go to the bunkhouse, don't show his face for 6 months, he was so glad to be back home, he'd have been glad to have done that. But the Christian attitude would have been to welcome with open arms. And, you know, sometimes backsliders come in our midst and we give them the cold shoulder. And we kind of freeze them out. And we kind of look at them and say, where you been? What you been doing? Uh-huh. I've been here around town. How you been? Uh-huh. That's not the way to be. If they want to come and pray and confess and acknowledge before God they've done wrong, we ought to be willing to open our arms and say, brother, I'll pray with you. I'll get down and seek God with you. Not sit there and pout. I'm going to be honest. If a backslider comes down here tonight and gets right with God, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rejoice. Yeah. How many of you are going to rejoice? Yeah. Praise the Lord! It's the only right thing to do. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again.
Praise God.
Was lost and is found. I have returned. I'm glad I'm in Dad's house. I appreciate Dad's house. I'm glad I'm in a sheepfold with someone to love me. And I want every backslider in the world to come back, don't you? God, give us a harvest. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Would you raise your hands and worship us? Oh God. Oh God. Now I want to tell you one other thing for what it's worth. Before God, I had prayed and I thought, as every preacher knows what I mean, that I had the mind of God. It was a totally different subject and totally different book of the Bible. And just before church, that's one reason I was late coming in, the Lord talked to me and said, I want you to preach on the prodigal son tonight. Really, he did. And I'm not saying an audible voice. I mean, I felt impressed in my heart. I'm not trying to act super spiritual. But folks, please don't have the elder brother's attitude. And prodigal tonight, don't try to cover up your sin. Son, if you're not where you ought to be with God, admit it. Be honest with yourself. You're cold. Won't you come on out of that hole pen before you get deeper? That's all. And you that are here tonight and living for God, stay in Father's house. If you've secretly thought how nice it must be to get out there and do your thing, I beg of you tonight, let the prodigal talk to you. There's nothing good out there. The devil will strip you of your virtue and of your honesty and of anything decent, and you'll wake up in a hog pen. Stay in Father's house. Stay in Father's house. Raise your hands and worship one more time. Oh, God.
sing a song of your own choosing softly. I'm asking tonight while everybody's praying, Sister Brenda is singing. If anybody wants to come and pray, if anybody wants to come on home tonight, if anybody wants to get rid of a nasty attitude or a petty spirit or a pouting spirit, if anybody wants to come on the narrative, I want you to know this altar is open tonight. Would you come? Come on tonight.